Hi everyone, Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to the Top of the Morning conversation on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For this week's Week in Review and Preview conversation, my guest will spend time reflecting on this week's notable macro events, including the latest jobs data, and as well as key testimony from Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Plus, we'll spend some time discussing the investment implications of this week's development, as well as preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas, Leslie Falconio, Head of Taxable Fixed Income Strategy Americas, and David Lefkowitz, Head of Equities Americas. Brian, Leslie, and David, welcome back to the Top of the Morning conversation, and thank you for spending time today with our clients and listeners. Brian, let's begin with the employment report. How did the data measure up to your expectations, and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So overall, the report was really mixed, hard to have a strong conclusion. So starting with the headline non-farm payrolls, these were better than expected, the 275,000. But the revisions were negative over the prior 2 months, totaling 167,000, the less payrolls over the prior 2 months. So you include those revisions, actually a little bit weaker than expected, I'd say. But if you look at the average over the last 3 months, which is the way the Fed usually looks at it, 264,000 average, that's a strong number. This is still a really good number. And now some of the other aspects of the report weren't as good. So the unemployment rate moved up to 3.9%. And overall, the household survey, which is where you get the unemployment rate from, was really weak. So it implies that employment fell. And there's also a huge discrepancy between what the household survey is saying, which is that employment growth has been actually weak over the last year, and then the non-farm payrolls, which have been really strong over the last year. So hard to reconcile this huge difference in what the data is telling us. And also in, if you look at some of the other data, the average hourly earnings were up only 0.1% in February. So, if you look at the combination of a higher unemployment rate, weak earnings, I think from the Fed's perspective, the report can encourage them to cut rates sooner because they're not so worried about the economic growth rate or the payroll growth rate. What they're interested in is the balance between supply and demand. And the ultimate measure of that is wage growth. So you have weaker wage growth, higher unemployment rate. And so it suggests there is better balance in the labor market. And again, I think it does make it easier for them to cut rates sooner, again, despite the very strong headline payroll number.
There was a lot of focus on Capitol Hill this week as Fed Chairman Jerome Powell delivered his semi-annual testimony to Congress. What are your takeaways and what are your expectations for the upcoming policy meeting?
Well, Powell really stuck to the script. Nothing too surprising came out of the testimony. And it's important to keep in mind that the FOMC has become more consensus-oriented over the years, especially under Powell, who isn't an economist and who sees his job really as to try to build consensus on the FOMC. Now, no one expects a policy change at the upcoming FOMC meeting. That's on March 19th and 20th. So the focus will be on the updated economic projections, especially the dot plot, which shows where the FOMC participants expect rates to be at the end of each year. So back in December, the dot plot suggested 3 rate cuts this year. And given the data we've had and the comments from FOMC members, I think the dots are likely to rise a little bit. Probably the median dot will stay at 3 cuts for this year, but some possibility that it would only be 2. Also, there may be some sort of announcement on the Fed's quantitative tightening program. So They're going to want to announce their plans to taper the pace at which the balance sheet is shrinking. So it could see something, in that direction.
So, Leslie, I want to bring you into the conversation. Turning to investment implications, how have fixed income markets responded to this week's macro events, and what are your current views when it comes to positioning?
You know, I think what was interesting about the markets heading into non-farm is that interest rates were moving lower fairly aggressively, even though the consensus was, 200,000, which is not a weak number. But I think that the reason why the market was rallying was the expectation that we would get a revision from the robust January jobs market and that 353, 355 that we saw. And that's exactly what the market did. And I think, Brian gave a great summation in terms of the payroll report, but right now, when you look at the market, things haven't really changed in terms of our view of, the Fed cutting. And actually, since the market has repriced to a more realistic cutting scenario in 2024, it's still pricing in around 80, 83 basis points, which wasn't that different from where we were heading before the payroll number. And we do think the Fed will cut this year. I think that one of the interesting components is that, when we look at things, such as Brian brought up the average hourly earnings, people are going to switch to CPI next week in particular, because of this potential, elevated inflation. And, the consensus is 0.3, and you might actually potentially get higher given the fact that gas prices in the U.S. have been going up. But I think the market overall is pleased by this number. I think it expected the revisions. I don't think it alters, what the market's expectations are for the path of the Fed. And because of that, we're seeing, yields come down, but particularly come down in that front end, right? We do think that overall yields will trend lower throughout the year, particularly as we get closer to the Fed cuts. And right now the market says 100% in June. After CPI, that could be completely different, but that's what it's saying right now. And we do think, a mid-year cut is most likely. So we're seeing the short end sort of lead yields lower, which is what we call, a steepener. We still like that five-year part of the curve because it has a tendency to lead monetary policy. And again, we do believe that, the Fed is going to go from pause to pivot sometime mid-year. And overall, this should be actually positive, I think, for particularly higher quality assets, which have been lagging. And we know that higher quality assets, which has been our preference, does have a high correlation to interest rate volatility. And we've seen this, large interest rate volatility in the start of the year as the market has, has repriced its expectation on future Fed cuts closer to that Fed guidance. So I think this is going to be positive for higher quality sectors. We like the higher quality sectors, specifically in the U.S. We look at things like TIPS and agency mortgage-backed securities and CMBS, those that have higher quality because we've seen those large credit-embedded sectors outperform this year because they are somewhat alleviated from the interest rate volatility. But I think this is a positive for high quality across the board. It doesn't alter our path in terms of interest rates ending up lower at the end of the year, more than likely towards 3.5%. And it's starting to have what we call this bull steepener with yields going lower, led by the short end. And again, we're not through, these hurdles yet. We still have, CPI next week. We have another retail sales. And obviously we have the Fed around the 20th of March.
Thank you so much, Leslie. Now, David, I want to bring you into the conversation as well. Can you give us some insight on the equity side in terms of market response and positioning?
Yeah, thanks, Siobhan. So, zooming out a little bit, obviously equity markets have had, a very nice run, not just only since October of last year, but really, really over the last almost 18 months at this point. And I think there's been, really three pillars behind this rally. We've had better than expected economic growth. We've had improving inflation. And then obviously just the surge of investment that we're seeing in artificial intelligence. And so just, in terms of the labor market report and a bunch of the data that we got this week, I would say, the data suggests that the economic growth remains fine. And clearly in terms of the labor market report today, a little bit of softening in that wage component, that's also encouraging for what it means for inflation. But as Leslie talked about, the CPI report next week is going to be an important data point. So generally supportive data, both on economic growth as well as inflation. And then, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of data points on artificial intelligence, but, you know, a bunch of tech companies have been making the rounds and speaking at conferences and things like that. And it still sounds like, you know, still a tremendous amount of interest and investment going on in artificial intelligence. You know, a number of end markets within tech also look to be bottoming, whether it be smartphones, PCs, servers. So, you know, in general, I would say those three pillars of good economic growth, moderating inflation, strong investment in artificial intelligence, those all seem to remain very well in place. You know, turning to the market implications themselves, you know, I do think a lot of this good news is pretty well reflected in valuations here. I mean, we are trading now, you know, close to 21 times earnings for the S&P 500. Sentiment and positioning is a little bit elevated. So we wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, maybe a modest pullback at some point in the coming weeks. But, you know, our main message is don't lose sight of the big picture. This is a pretty supportive environment. You know, we would stay invested. And then what, you know, where we do segments of the market that we do like, you know, from a sector perspective, we still like the tech sector, just, you know, given all the trends that we're seeing that I mentioned earlier in terms of end markets improving and artificial intelligence. But obviously you want to be diversified. So, you know, we also like the industrial sector where we think we're going to see an improvement in the good side of the economy. Inventories look pretty lean across a whole host of areas. There's a lot of investment going on in terms of reshoring, onshoring. A lot of this is spurred by some of the government programs. So we think there's some interesting things going on in industrials. And then in healthcare, you know, we do think you want some defensive exposure within the portfolio, and healthcare offers that, you know, plus the opportunities around some of the new obesity therapies and drugs, you get exposure to that as well. And then away from sectors and looking at size, I mean, we also like small caps. You know, first and foremost, they're very cheap, not only relative to large caps, but also relative to their own history. And we think this, you know, the Fed rate cuts that are likely coming, as we were just talking about, a better financing environment, a pickup in the industrial sector. Industrials are the largest sector in the small cap index. Better financing environment. There's a lot of biotech, non-profitable biotech within small caps, so they should benefit from a better financing environment. And ultimately, we think we're going to see a pickup in earnings growth. So, you know, we think it's a cheap area of the market with some potential catalysts. So we think it makes sense to have some exposure there as well, Siobhan.
Thank you so much for providing your insights for us, David. As we come to the end of our conversation, I want to turn to next week. Brian, what will be taking place that investors should be mindful of?
So next week, we have a lot of key economic data. As Leslie mentioned, we have the CPI for February, obviously huge focus on that at the moment. We'll get the NFIB survey of small businesses that gives us more information about the labor market and inflationary pressure. And then we'll get the retail sales for February. These were down in January, and another weak reading would raise concerns about the strength of consumers. And then we'll get industrial production. This also has not been weak, still down year over year. And, you know, you'd really like to see some increase in manufacturing output as part of the economic growth story. And one other thing to keep an eye on is Congress. So it seems more problems in negotiations over the budget. We could have a government shutdown starting tomorrow or a couple of weeks from now. There's a tax package that has been floating around that may or may not pass. And also the military aid for, you know, especially for Ukraine. All of this stuff could have, you know, a significant impact on economic growth over the remainder of the year. So really important to see if Congress is able to get something passed, because if they don't, it could really be a drag going forward.
Brian, Leslie, and David, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, we have been joined by Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas, Leslie Falconio, Head of Taxable Fixed Income Strategy Americas, and David Lefkowitz, Head of Equity Americas, for our Top of the Morning conversation. From UBS Studios, I'm Siobhan Chapman, and thank you for joining us.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.